Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for another night you've given us, Lord, and Lord, for all these blessings, Lord, that you've already given us, Lord, in the open meetings and also in the night meetings, Lord. And we ask that you keep speaking to your people, Lord, through your word, Father. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that that you keep using this church and you keep using the people, Lord, that they're out of this church, Father, and in other countries and also here, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you not put us aside, Lord. That you just keep using us. Lord, I ask that you help me tonight, Lord, to bring what's on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank everybody for the meals and, you know, all the stuff they've done for us. Like every year, you know, I mean, it's just great. Everybody does their part and everything gets met, right? And I know all the missionaries feel the same way. We just thank you all for just everything you do. Boy, I don't know if it's nerves or it's just listening to all that Polish, man. Little, trying to get my words to come out, boys. Maybe I start preaching in Polish. Oh man. Boy, I think I'm just nervous here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. You know, there's two things that every Christian should know. And the first thing is that we got a keeper. We got a shepherd. We got a savior. And that's Jesus. Amen. You know, we have a job to do. We have a battle to fight. And there's lots of casualties. You know, I'm sure if you talk to any one of us, we can tell you someone that's fallen probably even this year, you know, and it's a shame. You know, I mean, it's one thing to fall and it really is a shame. But we have a God who can even bring those people back. Amen. And also, give us a boost whenever we need it or just help us out. We can have him 24 hours a day and we call on him and he's there. You know, and the good thing about our keeper is that he wants to do good. He wants to do good in our lives and he wants to use us. Amen. You know, as wretched as we are, as imperfect as we are, he uses us. You know, and as I was thinking about this, we have a keeper, but we also have another part that we need to be aware of. And that is we have an enemy. And I want to talk to you a little bit about our enemy. I'm real careful to poke fun or, you know, name call the devil, you know, because I got to admit, I'm scared of him, you know. I don't want him touching me, you know. I don't want to be lifted up in pride and say I can handle him because I know I can't. And, you know, he has a bunch of devices that he uses to keep us down, to discourage us in this work. And sometimes the devices he uses, we can recognize it and we say, okay, I know this, I know the danger here, and I'm gonna get away from it. And why? Lots of times is because of a testimony or something that we heard in church. You know, a pastor be preaching, watch it, man, this happened to me, I fell, watch it. And God brings that to mind, and you go, okay, there's a danger there. You know, this is a device the devil uses, he's good at it, and I need to be aware of that. Well, I want to talk about the snares that the devil puts in our path to trip us up. And no one in this room is immune to the devices of the devil. And look what it says here in Timothy 2:7. It says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You know, the devil has a bunch of devices, like I said, and we're not ignorant of those devices. That's what the Bible says. We are not ignorant of those devices. You know, and it could be if you're a new Christian that you are ignorant of some things. But that's why you gotta come to church. You know? That's why you gotta come to the open meetings. That's why you gotta come and make it a point to read your Bible, to, I don't know, listen to as many messages as you possibly can. On, you know, when you're commuting, turn on the radio, listen to some gospel, you know, preach on the radio. I don't know, but you gotta get the stuff, in your heart, in your head, so you can be ready to withstand when the time comes. And the time is coming. And I want to talk about some things that the devil uses. And these things, you can take it and you can write them down, but I guarantee you some point in your life, you're going to forget it. You're going to forget it. That's why messages like this need to be preached over and over. You know, because that's how we are. We're forgetful people. You know? And so the first thing I want to talk about is pride. The devil is the author of pride. You know, it says in Ezekiel, if you want to turn there, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Here it's talking about what's referring to Satan. And it says here, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." And also Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 13. Start from verse 12. Listen to this. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." You know, and there's a phrase in there, there's a couple words you should pick up on. He kept saying, "I will." You know, the devil, even though God created him perfect until there was found iniquity in him, he wanted to be above God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to do it by himself. And you know, this is what pride does. You know, man, when we start looking at our abilities, when we start looking at things that we have done, sometimes the devil uses that and he speaks to you and he says, "You don't need to hear what this guy's saying. You don't need their help." You know, you don't need to go to somebody and ask for help. You know what? That'll get you. A lot of things I know right now is because somebody has helped me. Somebody's helped me. You know, I didn't understand something, and I'm glad when I went to somebody to speak, to ask them about, you know, whatever it is, they said, "Okay, I'll teach you." You know, and I hope I never come to the point where I can say, "I know it all and I don't need any help." Because you know what? The devil's going to know it, and he's going to use it to trip me up. One thing I do know is that pride reaches everybody. We're not immune from that just because we're Christians. You know, probably, you know, some of the most prideful people I know are Christians. You know, and that's a sad thing. But the devil uses that. Another thing is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Another thing the devil uses is the riches, money. You know, and this is something that many times we put all our effort into getting, right? And you know, and I'm you know, I'm also at fault at this, you know. I mean, you know, just today I was you know, I guess it was yesterday, I was driving, I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw a brand new Dodge truck. Man, them things look nice, sharp. And I started thinking, I said, "Man, I'm probably never going to have one of those. I sure would like one of those." You know? And you know, I start thinking, and then I see a lottery sign, you know, the lotto. Thinking, "Man, you know, maybe I can pull in, you know, to the, you know, stop and go, you know, write down my lotto numbers, and who knows, man, I might show up, you know, preach a short message right now, get home, you know, in time for the news, and boom, there's my numbers. And I can get that Dodge pickup. And then we can do some real fishing." No, but you know what? Seriously, money can trip you up. Amen. And the devil knows it. The devil knows how greedy we really are. You know, and I mean, we are, and we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware that, pride cometh before the fall. We need to be aware that God resists the proudful. You know, but He gives humble, He gives grace to the humble. You know, we need to realize that the devil uses riches. Look what it says here in 1 Timothy 6:9. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, and here's the thing. It says here that they that will be rich. You know, our will, our desire shouldn't be in getting rich. It shouldn't. You know, I believe God blesses people with money. You know, and God blesses, you know, people with, you know, some people with lots of money. But you know what? I don't believe God blesses people with money so they could use it for themselves. You know, and I can't see God keep on blessing somebody if they just use it for themselves. They need to use it for things that are not going to perish, like the work, you know, like your pastors, you know, like missionaries, tracts, things that God would use to reach other people, because that's what God's interested in, people. The devil's not interested in people. He wants to be worshipped. He still wants to be king. He still wants to rule the world. But you know what? I've read the last chapter, and it ain't going to work out that way. But he's trying really hard. It says here that the root of it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. We need to be aware that when we come to that point where we have a promotion, you know, or when we have an opportunity to go somewhere, another job, or whatever it is, we need to weigh out the circumstances. Why are we choosing this? Are we choosing it because we love more money? Or are we doing it because it's God's will? Maybe God does want you to move up the ladder. Who knows? Maybe you're doing a whole bunch and He wants you to do more. And that's great. If you do more, great. But we need to be careful because the devil does use riches to trip us up. He uses riches to get us down. And lots of people don't come when they have money. You know, and it's an amazing thing. You know, I don't know that firsthand because I never had lots of money. You know, I've had money. But I mean, I remember one time, last year, I got from a friend of mine who just found out that I was a missionary, sent me a check in the mail. Got there. And it scared me. At first I was like, man, Karen, we can do this and that. Oh man. And then I started thinking about it. And I started saying, man, you know, we could pay off our debts and then what? You know, we'll be free to spend. And my mind just started going crazy, you know? And I started thinking, no. You know, maybe I should just pass it on and give this burden to somebody else. You know, I don't want it. You know, and that's what I did. That's what, I mean, you know, somebody could say, you stupid, you could have paid off your debts. Well, true, I could pay off my debts. That's true, but at least I didn't have to think about that no more. You know, I just pass it on to somebody else. And sometimes, and I believe that's what God wanted me to do. I tell you, riches scare me. I mean, I can fantasize, and I have fun fantasizing, you know. I mean, lottos and everything. I'm like, wow, you know, all this stuff. But when it comes down to it, it scares me. Because, man, I'm weak. I really am. And we need to be aware that the devil not only uses pride, but he also uses riches. Another thing that he uses is, which is also our own weakness, is our laziness, you know? And, you know, sometimes when we work, when we're doing something and we put all our effort in it, you know, sleep is good. Sleep is real good when you're doing something. But when you're not doing something, sleep can hurt you, you know? It can really relax you and you want more sleep. You know what I'm saying? You just keep wanting more and more. And the devil knows exactly how we are. He knows our weaknesses. And this is one of our main weaknesses. Our flesh. It's weak. We need sleep. But he knows we also love sleep. We love, you know, sleeping into the hours, you know, of the day. You know, at times. I don't do it. But, well, sometimes. Not as much as Bill, but. Second Timothy 2. Second Timothy, yeah, I'll be gone. Second Timothy 2, verse 26. It says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." You know, that's the devil's will, to take them captive. You know, we need to get uncovered. Or like it says here, recovered. You know? We really do. We need to be aware of this. You know? We need to keep busy with what God wants us to do. And I'm not just talking about evangelizing. You know, in this chapter alone, in verse 3 it says, endure hardness. We don't need to be given up when we have problems in our lives. The minute, you know, we lose something, lose a job, lose, you know, whatever, and we just throw in the towel and we just sit there and we say, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of my problems, and I'm just going to rest here, you're making a mistake. You need to call up a brother and find out what to do. You need to get in the Word and find out what God wants you to do. You don't need to be sitting down when you have problems. Verse 5, it says, strive lawfully. We need to do the right thing. We need to do good works. I tell you what, if you're busy trying to endure and trying to make it to the next day, if you're busy trying to do good, you're not going to have that much time to sleep. Look what it says here, 14. Strive not about words to no profit. In 16 it says, shun profane and vain babblings. There are some things that we shouldn't repeat. There are some things that we shouldn't say again. You know? I mean, I'm you know, all for a good Aggie joke or something, but there's just some jokes that shouldn't be repeated. You know? There are some things that, that we just shouldn't say as Christians. And the truth is, because it gives a sour taste in other people's mouths. And you know what? The devil does know that too. You know? I don't know how many times I'll give you an example. One night I was talking to this guy downtown, right? And for some reason we started talking, and you know, he was telling me some stuff and I was telling him stuff, and you know, I was being real patient until at the very end, I don't know why I said it, but I called him a dog. I don't know why. I don't even remember the conversation. But I think I used the example of something like, you know, dogs, they look for shade, and they look for, you know, food, and sometimes not even people are even, you know, smarter than dogs. At least dogs have more sense. Something to that effect. Anyways, he got really offended. I mean, just clammed up, and I couldn't get any more, you know, in there. Well, I didn't have to say that. You know what I'm saying? The devil knows exactly things that people don't want to hear, to shut them up, you know, so they won't hear anymore. And we need to keep away from that. We need to watch our mouths. We need to watch things that come out of our mouths, and even things that go into our head, because that's the worst thing, you know. I mean, I don't know about you, but man, I just can't shake some things, you know, things that I see and things that I hear sometimes stay with me. And that's a sad part, you know. Scripture, I have a hard time, the Scripture sticks with me, but it's sad when things of the world stick with me more than Scripture. Something's wrong. It says, also, in 21, it says, purge himself. In 22, flee youthful lusts. In 23, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. I tell you, if we occupy ourselves in trying to do this, then we won't fall into this snare of falling asleep. Because we're going to be busy trying to follow what God... And there's many things that in the Bible talks about how we should walk. How our conversation should be. And many times the devil, it's his will that we fall asleep. But we need to awake to righteousness. This is the time right now. You know, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back, but he's going to come back. You know? And it's going to be a sad thing if the Lord comes back and we're all, you know, consumed with worldly stuff and sleeping more than we are working in His vineyard. Another thing I thought about was idolatry. You know, in this room, especially in the States, Catholicism isn't what it is in Mexico. You know, over here the Catholics are more modern, or you know, whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. But you know, even though they got some idols in their churches, they're not dogmatic as they are down there. You know, you don't see anybody walking for miles and miles and miles. You know, and then when they get there, going on their knees. You know, you just don't see that. You know, they're not that fanatic. But I'm not even talking about them right now. I'm talking about us. We have idols. And we make idols in our own lives. You know, you say, well, no, I don't have any image in, you know, in my house. But you know what? Anything that comes before God is an idol. Anything. It can be your husband, especially if he's not saved. You know, oh, well, he said he didn't, you know, want me to go, or, you know, he wants to go here or there. I tell you, when it comes against what God says, you need to obey God. Amen. You know, it might give you a little tongue lashing or whatever, but where is your heart? To obey God or to obey man? Amen. You know, it can be your children. Children, it can be what you're serving more than God. Amen. You know, hey, God knows it's a sacrifice to come and make these meetings, especially with these long-winded preachers. You know, God knows that. But, you know, I mean, it's a good sacrifice. You know, so your children are asleep in your lap. Who cares? You know, they're going to be asleep on the couch anyways at home, so who cares? You know, put them on the ground. I mean, God knows that this is a sacrifice. But you know, lots of times we use these things and we say, well, I can't do it because of this. And they're little idols that we have, you know, that come before God. And the devil uses them. You know, he says, oh, that brother over there has a lot of children. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this in their head. And they start lifting up these things. Started thinking also about work. Cares of this world can also be your idol. You know? Put work before God. And, you know, I mean, sometimes you gotta work. You know? You know, on church day or whatever. And, you know, God knows your heart. I'm not judging anybody. You know? But what I'm saying is we better be careful. You gotta examine. I'm no one. Okay, to say you're doing this wrong, and it takes too much time. You know, all I'm saying is the devil uses this to trip you up. If your heart's right, then you don't have a problem. You know, if these things aren't coming before God, then you don't have a problem. But sometimes we come to a crossway in the road, and we have to make a decision. What are you going to do? You know, and it's scary. It really is scary sometimes because everybody's talking about security now. You know. And everybody's looking, man, well, you know, retirement and Social Security and all this stuff, and we got to work and work and work and work. And work is good, but it's not good if it comes before God, because then it becomes an idol. And the devil uses these things. Another thing, open your Bible to Proverbs 29, 29:25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know what the devil uses is fear. He uses that. Now, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. I mean, He's given us a spirit to, you know, endure, because we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Not anything of ourselves, but we can have victory in whatever comes our way, because Christ is with us. And I mean, I tell you what, I'm probably the biggest chicken out of, you know, both these guys I work with, you know. I mean, I get scared. I really do. And you know, sometimes I just got to recognize that. I'm thinking, well, God is going to take care of me. You know, whatever happens, I know is. And to tell you the truth, I remember one time, not too long ago, we were on a street and Bill and Lorenzo started preaching, and then these drunks started coming out. And then Bill had a pretty close call. He was almost gonna go 15 rounds with one guy, boy. And boy, it got pretty hairy. Well, I was scared. I was scared to go back the next night. I mean, I was already making plans. Okay, I'm going to park my car over here and I'm going to do this. I'm thinking all this in my head, you know. And then Bill just says, don't worry about it. This never happens two nights in a row. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, that sounds logical to me. And then my fear went away. I mean, I don't know if that's his, you know, that's a good theory or not. I don't know. But that helped me. You know, that helped me. He gave me that, and, you know, who knows if that's true or not. I don't know if things ever happened twice in a row to him, but that's what he told me. And that took care of it. That comforted me. You know? But you know what? It says here, the trust in the Lord trip us up. Amen. The last thing is something that probably most of the adults in here don't have a problem with, but a lot of the young people do. And I know it's hard. But that's evil companionship. Amen. It's hard. It really is, you know. You got a handful of young people in this church, you know, and probably they all live all over the place, you know. And the only time they see each other is Sunday and Wednesday nights. And they don't hang out at school because they don't go to school together. So they got to hang out with other people. Well, you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you hang out with. And as parents, we got to be careful on how we encourage these children. You know? Because lots of times, I mean, we got a sister down in Irapuato. She's a little bit of, you know, kind of airy sometimes. And, you know, she tells her daughter after, I mean, she's been in, you know, my young people group down there and everything. And I don't know how many times we had this study about dating lost, you know, people and everything. And she gave advice to her daughter not too long ago that it's okay to date a lost person because you might win them to Christ. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? You know, I mean, this is wrong. You shouldn't give that advice. Amen. You know, I mean, but then she, oh, it's innocent. All yes. Okay. It's innocent right now. But man, the heart, boy, it really deceives you. And it really does. And it can trip you up and the devil knows it. Amen. And we got to be careful who we let our children hang out with. Amen. And we got to be careful to teach them the right way. I mean, we can't, I mean, once they get a certain age, well, you know, hey, they're just going to have to go and hopefully you taught them well enough so they can make a right choice. But I want to read to you what happened here in Joshua. Open your Bible to Joshua 23. And this is about evil companionship. This isn't, you know, something that I made up. I think the Bible teaches that the church needs to be separate from the world, from evildoers. We need to be different. And the minute we start thinking that there's no problem, is the time when the devil says, "I can get this guy. I can get him." You know, and then they waste their years, you know, for I don't know how long until they finally snap that they're doing wrong, but yet they wasted all them times. Yeah. All those years. You know, I some people say that I, you know, I don't have a leg to stand on when I tell, you know, young people that, you know, down there in Mexico that, you know, when they ask me, well, you know, what do you think about this guy? Or what do you think about that guy? Or, you know, can I date this person even though he's lost? And I tell them straight answers and, you know, hard answers. And, you know, some people say, well, it's none of your business. But, you know, I'd rather tell them, the extreme so then they can find, you know, if that's good or not. You know, I'd rather tell them, no, don't do it. And tell them, well, maybe you can do it. Maybe you can get away with it. And then, you know, a couple months down the road, I find something terrible happened. You know? And then I sit there and look and I'm thinking, man, maybe I messed up. Maybe I messed up. It ain't worth it. You know? Lots of these guys, lots of these kids, I don't understand them. They want to sow wild oats. And when they get married, they want to find someone pure. Go figure. You know? Let me tell you something. You got a girl in your house? Watch out. You got a young man in your house? Watch out. You gotta make sure that they're walking, close to the Lord. You gotta make sure that they're hanging out with the right people. Look what it says here in Joshua 23:11. Joshua is already old. He's talking to Israel. He's telling them what they should do. But look what it says here. It says, take good heed therefore unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, that they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes. You know, the Lord's given a warning. You know, so many times He puts people in our path, and they let people with experience, you know, that's already gone through this. You know, young people should listen to their parents. You know, especially if they start off like this, like, you know, I've already done that. You know, I've already been there. Listen to me. They need to listen. And I know it's hard because young people think they already know everything, but they don't. You know, and us as parents need to have patience with that. But this is the truth. God, it comes to a point where God says, if you do that, there's just traps and there's snares. You know, it also says in 2 Corinthians, and I'll end with this, 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. You know, God didn't never plan for us to be like lost people. He wants us to be different. Amen. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be wise in this life and wise to the devices of the devil, because he is our enemy. And you know, if in this room are, if we're all born again believers, we don't have any worries as far as going to hell, as far as, you know, as far as the devil buying back our soul. No, man, that's taken care of. But you know what? We need to worry that we don't get washed up. We need to worry and fear our enemy. We really do. And I'm not talking about a godly fear. I'm just talking about a fear that, hey, you know, this guy can do me some damage. I need to walk closer to God. I need to walk closer to what this book says. And I need to be aware that the devil uses pride. He uses riches. He uses sleepiness, laziness. He uses idolatry in our lives. He uses fear, and he uses the evil communications, evil companionships that we have to knock us down, to trip us up, so we won't go on. Amen.